in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Would you join me as we pray? Father, we love you. God, as we dive into your word this morning, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would illuminate it to us in a great way. And Father, we just thank you that the old is gone and the new has come. We thank you, God, that we were once lost, but now we're found. We thank you that we were once dead, but now we have come alive in you. And Jesus, we thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that this truth would become even more of a tangible reality in our hearts and minds over the next 6 weeks. In the name of Jesus, amen. Give your neighbor a high five, and then you may have a seat this morning. We're in a series, 6 weeks, Do the New You. We will conclude on Mother's Day because we think that's so appropriate. And this series is based off of Stephen Furtick's book, and we just felt like this concept, this word, this title is something that we can apply to our lives, and that this application will be helpful for godly living and understanding. But before we get into the sermon, there's a couple of things that I want to just communicate to our church. The first thing that I want to communicate is we have Growth Track that happens the first and third Sunday of every month. This is where you place membership to the church and say, hey, I'm joining this church and I'm going to participate through giving, serving, belonging, and be a people who've come under this and say, this is my church, this is my home. So I want to welcome to the family a few people. If we can welcome Luke and Kayla and Isaac and Danny and Shayla and Marcella, Adriana and Michael, and we're just so grateful that they went through Growth Track. If you're here, raise your hand. All right, we see you. We see you. So we're excited. Welcome to the family, and we are excited that you are a part of this church, that you're no longer just a regular attender, but you're saying, I'm going to make a difference here. And so thank you for doing that. Then the next thing that I want to talk about is I want to talk about just our building, give you a building update. Our Light the World campaign, we started this last year. We believe that God has set apart an amazing building for us. This isn't our permanent church home. How many love these seats, though? It's like, I already have my wrench. I'm going to take my seat with me, you know, when we build that new building. But God has been so faithful to us. Our first miracle in this process was to get land on UTSA Boulevard. And it was, we had this appraised land, $800,000 to $1 million worth of land right there. And we were just believing God to close on this land. We needed a down payment of 25%. We have since put $100,000 down on this land over the last year and a half. It is platted. It is has its drainage report. It has all those things, and it's ready to go. And we're so excited about that. Then next, we started putting the plans together. So we put together the plans, and we prayed about it, and we started this process last September in faith, believing that when the plans are done, we're going to be able to start moving dirt soon. So this was the next phase. The plans for this project is actually, I'm going to give you a number, and some of your jaws may drop, but I'm going to tell you, it's actually a really great deal that we got on the plans, but we're all in for $180,000 on those construction documents, which is our complete CDs signed and sealed, and is exactly what we needed. It took us 6 months to design those. So over the last 6 months, we've been planning, we've been consulting, ministry leaders have been coming in, speaking on these plans and what it looks like. Of the $180,000, we put $100,000 on the plans already. And so here in 2 weeks, they will be sealed 100%. We will have these plans, and we are needing a special offering of $80,000 to finish this process. So to finish the process of plans, we are looking for a special offering of $80,000 in the next week. We're asking God just to move us. And so how does this work? Our church has pledged $200,000 towards this campaign. Of the pledge, we've received $79,337. It's pretty awesome. And so we're so grateful for that. And now we are looking at maybe you made a pledge. And if you're able at this point in time to go ahead and fulfill that pledge, we'd ask that you would pray about doing that this week. And just see what you can do, if you can fulfill that. If you can't, That's okay. But if you're able to, go ahead and meet us there. Fulfill that pledge. Maybe this is the first time you're hearing about we have land, we have plans, and a building is coming. I'm going to tell you right now, maybe you want to join this process and you want to make a pledge or you want to give a special gift. We invite you to do that. Already, over the last 2 days, we've seen $12,200 come in of that $80,000, which is awesome. And we believe that God's going to continue to show up. And the unique part of a land and building and anything monumental in your life, it takes a miracle. You know this. You know this personally. You believed for that school to get in. You believed for your tuition. You believed for a house, a car. You believed for a marriage. Any monumental moment in your life took a miracle. And we know it's no different for our church. It was a miracle to get land in the fastest growing city in the nation on UTSA Boulevard, right down from the university, where we reach college students and the community comes together. It was a miracle. God made it happen. He showed up. You faithfully gave and we got there. There's going to be many miracles along this road, on this journey. And it's not just one man's miracle, but it's our miracle. Everybody say, our miracle. Our miracle. You don't believe it. You don't believe it. Everybody say, our miracle. Our miracle. It's our miracle. It's our church. We're doing this together. We're believing that God is going to set this up and set this in place to fulfill what he promised to us 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that we were believing that this was going to happen. So let's believe together, and because we know that once we have the building, we start equipping, we start sending other missionaries, we start training people, we start doing conferences and seminars. Pastor Ben doesn't have to pull a trailer anymore. That's just selfish. But God's going to do it. And here's the thing, in the process of the miracle, in the process of waiting, I pray that our faith would start growing, that we would start building, that we'd start believing. The miracles that we've seen of salvations, the miracles of the people we've seen discipled, the miracles that we've seen in this house of marriages restored that shouldn't be restored, the way that he has reconciled and redeemed a people. I believe that God is going to keep moving mightily in our midst. Amen? Can we pray for this special offering that's going to be given this week? Father, we believe it by faith that you will give us every dollar that we need. And Lord Jesus, I thank you for the generosity of your church that has been given towards this project to believe that there will be a house where many people will get saved, many people will get married, where life will be celebrated, where funerals will happen, where amazing reconciliation moments will happen, where so many great things in this place. But Father, I pray that through this process, it wouldn't just be about a destination, but it'd be about what you're doing in us, in our church. Let us believe for the impossible. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you for doing that. We'll update you next Sunday, and I believe that there's going to be a miracle next Sunday. Will you believe with me, church? I believe that God's going to do that. You know, as we talk about this series, Do the New You, this is typical of a brand new start of a new year, right? It sounds like a New Year's resolution a little bit. Why are you doing Do the New You right after Easter Sunday? And I believe that God resurrected something in our church last Sunday, and I believe that we're stepping into the next season of our church life, of our people, and it's time for us to remember who God has called you to be. Because everything out there is trying to tell you and give you some sort of identity outside of who Jesus is. Everything is. And so we feel like Do the New You is about doing what God has called you to do, that your old self no longer defines you, but you're going to be able to walk in your new self in a greater measure and greater way. Do you believe it, church? I believe that this morning. And when I think about Do the New You, I think about the opposition that happens to such a statement and such a title. And oftentimes, some of the opposition is the disappointment that we faced. Can I just be real this morning? Some of it's just disappointment that hits our soul, that hits our mind, the life circumstance that happens, the certain situation that happens in our life. How many of you have been looking forward for the last 200 years for the solar eclipse tomorrow? Okay, just me? I'm just kidding. All of us? I mean, there are so many parties. My friends have been inviting me party after party. Come see the solar eclipse. It's going to be awesome. They made plans. I have a friend written a bus to take a bunch of people to the best site in Texas. I mean, just everybody is ready to party. But did you check the forecast? Did you check that it may be cloudy? There is some potential that there will be some cloud coverage over the thing that you were anticipating. In our life, isn't that true? That there are things in our life, hopes and dreams and desires, and yet sometimes there's some cloud cover isn't there. Sometimes we find out the very thing that we were hoping for actually hits us with some disappointment. And when disappointment hits us, we begin to find ourselves disillusioned and falling back to our old self, the old way of life. You know, it is what it is. Do you? That's what everybody says. It is what it is. The clouds is, they are what they are. And all that means is you're being dismissive of something that you were anticipating, and you're trying to dismiss it through saying a slogan that it should dismiss your disappointments. And we do this oftentimes. We find ourselves walking in this way of falling over and over again into this disappointment. But I want to tell you, and the declaration that we have today is you aren't stuck unless you stop. You aren't stuck unless you stop. Everybody say that. You aren't stuck unless you stop. You aren't stuck unless you stop. And this is something that we need to know. It's something that we need to have. And I want to tell you that oftentimes when you hit opposition, when you hit disappointment, when there's something resisting you. The church in Ephesus, there was some opposition. There was some different conversations of different philosophies and different ways of living. How many college students have been just combated with maybe some different ideologies, some different truths, some different outliers, some different apologetics? And I'm going to tell you, it moves into a place where you can find yourself of, you know, the new me is just not working out. You know what, the me of putting church first, putting God first, putting this, my discipleship and my time with Jesus is just not working out. And I'm finding myself being disappointed over and over again. I'll just go back to whatever feels good. Because sensuality has no resistance. Isn't that unique? It's like in our sinful state, in this fallen world, there's just no resistance to your sensuality, to your pleasures, to whatever you want to gratify. If I want a dopamine hit, I just get on Instagram and start scrolling right away. Oh man, my wife yelled at me. Instagram, scroll. Okay, I'm affirmed. I'm back. Okay, come on. It's so easy to get this dopamine hit, to get this moment to move in your life, and all of a sudden, this is what Paul is saying in Ephesians 4. It's so easy to go back to your old self, but I want to tell you that your new self, your new man, that which God has put in you needs to rise up. See, the old you is futile thinking. The new you is there is a reason for every situation. There's a reason for this circumstance. There's a reason this is happening. Even though there's opposition, even though it's tough to live right, even though there's all this is happening, there's a greater purpose to the resistance that I'm going through in the moment. There's greater purpose in what God has for us. And so in this moment of resistance, the Lord is saying that we need to be persistent in the resistance. We need to keep pushing through even though there is obstacles in our life. Even though the old self just comes up over and over and over again. That the futility keeps coming at us. But we have to remember there is a reason. There is a reason. And Paul would say that those who are not in Christ, not only are they living in their futility, not only are they doing that, but their understanding is in their own ways. They have a darkened understanding, meaning that they don't really understand. Have you ever, like, not fully understood something, and it was, you were just limited in your understanding, limited in the knowledge that's around you? Paul would say this: those who are walking in a way of their old selves are walking in the dark, and their understanding is only of darkly things. It's only, you can't really make it out. But when you walk in the new you, when you start doing the new you, the one that Jesus has called you to, all of a sudden the room is illuminated. You have light. You have this moment where it shows up in a great way. And when you hear the slogans and the sayings of do you or live your own truth, all of a sudden you realize, hey, that actually is not a great idea. But there's so many things that happens when we move into this way. You see, the old you moves into a place of justifying, right, where you are in your position. And so if you start walking in the new you, but you aren't conforming to who Christ has called you to do, what you do is, in order to deal with that disparity, you begin to make excuses. I gotta make some excuses. You know, a lot of us started this year with, you know, eating no sugar. Some of us started this year, I'm going to work out 5 days a week. Some of us started out this year, I'm just going to wake up on time. Some of us started out this year, I'm just going to be on time to work. Not 5 minutes early, not 5 minutes late, right on time. And what's amazing is you go through the year, you go through these moments, and these things that God has promised you to, and he's saying, and you've made, I'm going to start praying every day. I'm going to journal every day. I'm going to spend time. I'm going to go through that Bible plan through a year app, you know, that thing. I'm going to start doing that. And then you miss 15 days. And all of a sudden, the old news starts taking away, and you find yourself like, you know, what, is it even worth it? Man, I'm really busy. I just don't got time. You know, I don't got time for that. I mean, a Bible in a year, that was crazy. Maybe I'll just do like a Bible in my lifetime. You know, and you start moving this way. Or man, you know, going to church was awesome and serving God was awesome. But, man, it was hard. It was difficult. That was tough. I'm going to go back to my old life. You know, I just don't got time every Sunday. I got kids' sports on Sunday morning. I got busyness happening every weekend. I can't get all my work done during the week, so I'm bringing it into Sunday. And all these things begin to stack up, and our excuses is what the old you constantly tells yourself. Excuse after excuse. But the new you is going to give you and tell you that there are opportunities. There's opportunities for change. There's opportunities to move. There's opportunities to realize and to catch yourself and realize that I've been just doing me, and it's time for change. And what I love about the Bible says his mercies are new every morning. When David pens this, his mercies are new every morning, it means when I mess up, when I have lustful eyes, when I look at Bathsheba, when I make mistakes, when I get somebody pregnant out of wedlock, when these things happen, I'm going to tell you that my mercies are new every morning. I'm going to give you a new chance, a new opportunity, a new hope that you're not too far gone. The new you, if you want to do the new you, you need to remind yourself you're not too far gone, but there's always an opportunity. There's always a chance. Seventh grade soccer Ben. Let me tell you about him. Believe it or not, I was an athlete. Seventh grade soccer Ben, I remember I was on a club team, and I was so excited. I love soccer, breed soccer. I had soccer gear in my room, was all dressed and decked out in soccer. But the summer before seventh grade, before the tryouts where you had to run 2 miles in 12 minutes, before all those moments, I spent the summer eating nachos instead of running. Anybody relate? I spent all summer eating nachos, just watching TV, not doing what I was supposed to do. And then came the conditioning. I showed up the first day and the conditioning was brutal. Came back the next day, the conditioning was brutal. I'm vomiting every nacho that I ate all summer in one moment. I mean, everything was disgusting. I hope you visualize that right now as you're thinking about lunch instead of the sermon. But I want to just tell you that it was not good. And it was that week that I decided, you know, maybe soccer's not for me. Maybe I should be doing something else. And as you know, I'm making light of a situation. You know, I had crazy anxiety. I had crazy panic attacks. I'm freaking out there. I'm hyperventilating. I want to run from the situation. I want to get out of it as soon as possible. But what happens is that the thing that you enjoy, the thing that you pursue, when there is resistance on it, when there's obstacles to it, when you find yourself in a situation that you don't think you can get through, it's easy to go back to your old you. Seventh grade Ben went back to his old self and never did soccer again. I was done. And you're looking at me. I see the looks of shame on your face right now. But God is saying, in these moments of obstacles, in the moments of pressure, in the moments where it's to look at another woman, in the moments of to find yourself lying and cheating and compromising, the moments of when you set out in your new self to pursue the Lord, that you find the self-gratification sneaks up so quickly, it's so easy to give up on that which you love, your first love. Your first love. It's easy to abandon it. Romans 12:2 says this: do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. The old you will give up before you reach where you're going. The new you will keep moving forward, because you are not stuck if you don't stop. You're not stuck if you don't stop. You just keep moving forward. Keep going forward. Keep moving in a certain way. I know, you know, don't you just loathe those personalities, like super disciplined, like they wake up with six packs, like Will Galloway? It's just how does he do that, you know? Just super disciplined, internal alarm clock, only needs 6 hours of sleep at night. He only eats greens and chicken every day. And just, I mean, it's just like, how do you do it? His yes is always his yes. His no is always his no. Not even maybe sometimes. It's like, man, there's certain personalities where discipline is just put in them. Just put in them. It's just like they wake up disciplined. But what I love about this is that God is moving us into a new you, not changing your personality. He doesn't want to change who you are, but he wants to change your patterns. Jesus wants to start changing your patterns. The new you is changing your patterns. Changing the ways that you are doing things, the way that you're pursuing God, loving God, seeking God, and if the patterns of change, it what keeps us moving forward. Constantly becoming more like him, constantly seeking him, constantly remembering that. Matthew 7:7 says this: ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. This verse tells us that Jesus is making his newness and your newness available. To do the new you means that it's available. That it's available to you. Just ask. Start asking. Start seeking. Start knocking. What I love about an ask is an ask always has humility in it. Because it means that you don't have something or you don't have the answer inside of you, but you had to inquire from someone else. You see, the enemy to pride is humility. And if we want to start growing in the new you, and you want to do in the new you, you must humble yourself in a position where you're seeking and asking for the things that you don't have the answers to or the ability to achieve. Prideful people make excuses. Humble people seek out answers. Seek out answers. They say, I don't know how. I don't have it. I'm not like them. That you're constantly making excuses. I don't know how. I don't have it. I'm not like them. I'm not like Will. I don't know how to read my Bible. I don't know how to pray. I'm not like them. They grew up in church. They have a great family. Their mom and dad raised them in church. I'm not like them. I don't have what it takes. All these excuses come into play. But I want to tell you that if you want, the enemy of excuses is humility. Walking humbly, saying, God, I don't know, but you know. I don't know how, but you know how. God, my family, I don't know how to love a woman. I don't know how to love a man. I don't know how to raise children. I don't know how to be integritous in my workplace. I don't know how to change the morale in my business. I don't know how to do these things, but you do, Jesus. You know how to do this. The old you, it has this moment where the disappointment that you have and you face, it debilitates and you start, can't move forward. But the new you, disappointments change you. And they change you in a way of your running destination, constantly moving you towards the right source of where you need to run. The humility says that in the new you, I'm going to start running my race towards Jesus, and I'm going to start running to the place I need to go to. Hebrews 4:15 says this, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need, that we would not be those who get stuck and debilitated and sit in our selfishness and our old way of life, but we say, I'm going to do the new you. I'm going to do the new me. I'm going to do the me in Christ, the me in who Jesus sees. I'm going to walk that out. I'm going to run it out. And when I feel all of a sudden me tripping, I'm going to say, hey, Will, I need help. I need some help right here because I'm tripping up. I'm having these thoughts. I'm having this sensuality that is coming up and trying to grab me, and that's not who I want to be. I have a darkened understanding. Help me clothe myself in Christ that my understanding may be illuminated to see God's purpose and the new you that he wants for you this year. Amen? Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me this morning? And let's ask the Lord a question. Let's ask Jesus a question. And the simple question you ask Jesus, what's the excuse that I'm believing right now that's keeping me from the destiny that you call me to achieve? Jesus, what excuse have I been making to do my old life? What excuse have I been making to fulfill my own desires? What disappointment have I faced, Jesus? What's the disappointment that I'm looking at in the mirror? What have I done? What did I put some hopes in and just felt like they let me down? I'm asking Jesus that you would remove excuses, that the old self would die, that the new self would live. Make me like you. We trust you in this. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.